Mom.
Thank you. Well, today we are finishing up our Church Hurt series. I don't know about you, but I have sure heard stories about how this series has just challenged people, how it has just woken up some things that they're like, "Woo! Didn't know I had to deal with that." And I just wanted to take a moment and recap, really, what this series has all engulfed. And if you've missed any of it, it's all online. And I just encourage you, like, go and listen to these messages, because I really think that God is doing a deep work in our church home here. So the first week of the Church Hurt series, we talked about spiritual spring cleaning, and the foundation of really hurt and pain is all about forgiveness and allowing Jesus to take us back to the source of our pain so that he can bring healing and truth and then move forward together. And then week two, Pastor Jason spoke on breaking the cycle of hurt and the idea of how hurting people hurt other people, but healed people help other people heal, right? And then last week, Pastor Sheree and Pastor Avey, they killed it on talking about, hey, guess what? We come to a place where people walk in here from all different places in life. Real people go here, right? Real people go here. And so the question should never be, what if I get hurt again? But how do I handle it when I get hurt again? And how do I respond when I hurt someone? Right? It was so, so good. I was so challenged. One of the things that God really just kind of showed to me was Sheree brought up a verse about how God can point to us as an example of his grace. And she was explaining how, like, God should be able to look, God can look down and be like, see, they're an example of my grace. That's what my grace looks like. And God just really spoke to my heart. He goes, I want to be able to point at you, Paula, and say, see the grace she shows others? That's how I show her grace. And I was like, okay, I hear you, right? So good. And so this final message in this series, and I mean, man, God is so funny how he puts things together, because we weren't even looking at dates when we came up with the four messages in this series. We weren't looking at dates. And it just so happened that this last message fell on Mother's Day. And this last message is all about redefining family. Wow. Right? Redefining family. And how fitting is it that it falls on Mother's Day? Because from my experience in my life, the mom is kind of the builder of the family, right? The mom is the creator of the home and is the one that brings the sense of community and family to the home. And if you did not grow up with a positive experience in your own family, the idea of your church, the building you come to worship together, being a family, might cause you to be a little unsure or cautious, right? And so today, I want to redefine this term for you. If you're sitting in here and you're like, I don't know about that. Like, I'm all good with, you know, going to church. I'm even maybe okay with going to a life group once in a while, but I don't know that I'm ready to call this group of people my family, because family doesn't actually feel very good to me. Family hasn't been a great experience for me. Well, I want to redefine this term for you as it applies to Hope City today, okay? And this is why, and this is something that God has just been really speaking to my heart about this past week, is that from the time that we launched Hope City on September 13th, 2020, God spoke to all four of us, Jason and myself and Shuri and Avi, about give me a year. Give me a year. And really what I just hear him saying about that year is like he's building a foundation. Okay? So all of you sitting in these seats today, you're part of the foundation of Hope City. You're part of what he wants to build on. Okay? And so in order for him to build on us, we have to be strong in what he's saying to us. Right? We have to be strong. We have to go down deep with him. And it doesn't, the fact that we've come through this whole series and talked about going back in order to move forward and how to deal with hurt, it's because, guys, people are going to walk into this place broken and hurting and lost and unsure. And he's looking at us and all of us sitting here that are part of this foundational year that he's building Hope City. And he's like, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? Some of you walked in here feeling broken and hurt and lost and unsure. And you've already experienced some healing. And you're like, hey, I like what I feel here. I like what's going on here. Are you going to keep moving forward? Or are you going to be like, nah, it hurts too much? Right? And we have to become a family that when people walk into this place, they're like, I have to be part of that. I have to be a part of that. I've never felt so much love and acceptance and understanding as I do when I am around the people at Hope City. That's what he's asking of us, to be that foundation. And so the best way to explain, and I just kind of brought this prop out here today, right? Every family has a story. Welcome to ours. Okay? This is our family, and this is our story. The best way for me to explain what our Hope City family has to look like, is to give you, like, my idea of family. And really, my idea of family was built from my own mom. My own mom. And I am so sorry if I get emotional. Okay? This is my third Mother's Day without my mom. And, man, I was realized as I was working on this message this week, she instilled such an amazing legacy of family in me and what it looks like. And I want to talk to you about the legacy of family that my mom built and really the legacy that she is building here at Hope City. Because it's the idea of family that my mom instilled in me, what we're pouring into the foundation here at Hope City. And so really we could say like, this is the family that Sue built, because it really is. It's the legacy of the family of how mom taught me to be a family. My mom had to redefine her own family when she was 38 years old. And if you interview me and my other siblings, you might find that we have a kind of a different idea of family. Because up until my mom was 38 years old, she was married, and the kids lived with mom and dad. And then it came to a point where mom knew, like, she had to make a change in her life, and things weren't getting better between her dad and herself, my dad and herself. And she had to make a change. And the thing that made her realize that she had to make a change was when she realized she was pregnant with me. And she was like, "Woo! I can't do this to another kid. I can't bring them into the dysfunction that's going on here, into the pain that's going on." And so my mom had to make a change, and she had to redefine family. And this is the idea of family that I grew up with, watching my mom build family. And as I look back on the legacy that she left, I realize that this is the legacy of what she wants in every person's family. This is what we should all be carrying with us. The first thing is this. In a family, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. I want to give you a verse that goes along with this, and I'm reading today from the Passion Translation, because there's just this new translation. Listen, it's only available in the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs right now. And it's a ridiculous amount of time before the whole Bible is released in this translation. But the wording of this translation, man, it pierces your heart. Okay? So here's what the Passion Translation says in Galatians 3, verses 27 to 29. Faith immersed you into Christ, and now you are covered and clothed with his life. I'm going to get out of the way so you can see up here. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are now Abraham's child and a true heir of all his blessings because of the promises God made to Abraham. Now, you might be sitting there like, what does that have any? Welcome. And the reason for that is because of this. Is when Paul was writing this letter to the church in Galatia, they were having this kind of argument about, like, who should be welcome to attend, to be part of the church. And there was this idea that only the Jewish people of Jewish descent should be welcome to attend the weekly church attendance, wherever they were meeting. And this is what Paul was saying. Listen, Jesus did something for you. Jesus sacrificed himself for you to put away all false identities. And he put away everything that made us different. We are all one. All it takes to be part of the family is to say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying. Like, listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're of Jewish descent or non-Jewish descent. It doesn't matter your social status in life, your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your cultural status. All that matters is that you love Jesus. And you're welcome. Everyone is welcome. When I was growing up, it didn't matter who walked in the doors of our house. And believe me, the houses that I grew up in were nothing to be proud of. I grew up in some hovels. I grew up in a tool shack that was repurposed to be a one bedroom, no bathroom house. Okay, I grew up in a single wide mobile home, in a ran down mobile home park. There was nothing to be proud of as far as the condition of the house. But man, when people walked into my house, my mom's house, they're like, huh, I feel comfortable here. I feel love here. As a matter of fact, I had many friends growing up that would call my mom, Mom. Because when they came into her house, she treated them just like they were her own kid. Right? They called her Mom. And she loved that. She loved that. Because everyone that walked into my mom's house just felt welcome. And when family members married or were in a relationship with people who had other kids, those kids were automatically accepted as my mom's grandkids. even if they weren't naturally born to her own kids. They were her grandkids. That's just how she made everyone feel. Everyone is welcome. And at Hope City, everyone is welcome into this family. You love Jesus? Great, so do we. Let's do life together, right? That's what it looks like. And as we start doing life together, and we see that everyone is welcome, and when everyone is welcome, people walk in, and they may be walking a different path in life than you are. They might be walking a different path in life than I am. And sometimes that different path in life, you might be going like, huh, wonder how that's going to work out. Huh. I wonder if like we should talk about that. Well, here's how my mom handled things. The next point is this. Celebrate wins with bold declarations. Do you hear that? Celebrate wins with bold declarations, but guard difficulties with quiet prayer. You might want to write that down. Celebrate wins with bold declarations, but guard difficulties with quiet prayer. Listen, my mom was the first one to brag on you. Like, she would find the thing that whatever it was that you were doing great with, she was going to make sure everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. When I became an ordained pastor, I mean, my mom was already like struggling with some dementia, and that was the first thing she would say to people. Oh, my daughter just became an ordained pastor. Every time she would talk to someone, I would like meet someone for the first time. They're like, your mom talks about you all the time. She's so proud of you. That's what I would hear from people. My mom would find the gold in you and call it out. But when there was a difficult situation or an issue that caused her concern, and let me tell you, there were six of us. Four boys, two girls. One of them was perfect, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't my four brothers. All right? I think my sister, I don't know. I don't know how she was. She's so perfect, but she is. I don't think she ever caused my mom any concern. Just being real. She was perfect. She still is. If you ever meet my sister, which you, most of you in this room have, you know, she's like perfect. She's perfect. I don't know what it is about her. Okay? But the rest of us, the other five of us, absolutely caused her some concern. And we made choices that made her be like, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's God's best plan for you. And she would share with us her concerns, but guess what? Those concerns never went any further. But there were often times when I would hear my mom, I would hear her when I was a young kid, and I would hear her in her room, just talking to God. And my mom was emotional and passionate when she would talk to her father. And I would hear her behind her closed bedroom door, just saying, oh God, and crying. And then I knew, I wouldn't even have to hear a name. I just knew like, one of us has caused her some pain. One of us has caused her something for concern. But you know what? When she was talking to someone else, that cause for concern never came out of her mouth. That cause for concern was strictly between her and her father. My mom was the definition of love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what she would do. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure of defeat as defeat, and it never gives up. It never gives up. Love never gives up. And you know what? There were times that I remember growing up that mom would say something like this. Well, I haven't seen this happen yet, but God has got, it's coming. I know it's coming. God promised it. And never, she never gave up. Guys, we have to celebrate each other with bold wins. Celebrate each other's wins with bold declarations. Let's be so proud of each other and call, let's make it a habit to outdo one another with calling out the gold in each other. But when there's something that comes up that gives us pause for concern, let's guard those. Let's guard those with quiet prayer and getting and talking to Father God about it. And then the last thing that my mom taught me is we show up for one another. We show up for one another. Mom taught me to be available whenever needed. Just be available. That's what family looks like. We're just available. And this is what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 4, verses 32. As he was talking about the church growing together as a family, as believers in Jesus, all the believers were one in one mind and one heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. Huh. They just showed up for each other. Oh, you need that? Psh, I have that. I'll get that for you. I'll make sure you got that, right? Mom taught me show up for each other. That's what going to life group is all about. You show up for each other. You find out more about people in life group than you will in this building. And when you find out that there's something going on, man, show up for each other. I didn't even realize how deep this point went into our family until Avi and Darren just got married at the end of March. And we had family coming in from town, and Jason's parents and his siblings were at our house, and we were just talking about like what we needed to do over the next couple of days. And Jason looks at his parents, and Jason's parents have been a part of my life for 25 years, right? I mean, they know what our family looks like. They know how we run things. And Jason looked at his parents and he said, "Listen, you're in for a treat. You're going to watch how this family comes together for each other, and it's really fun to watch." And I don't even think you realize like what that did to me. I just sat back and I was like, "Huh." Like, our family, the family that my mom created, is a wonder to some people. Because when an event happens that we all need each other, man, we just show up. We just show up and we make it happen. And that's something to brag about. At Hope City, we show up for each other, right? That's why our life groups are so important. Just the other day, I heard about someone who was walking our grounds and was like, "You know what? Our men are going to take pride in this place. We're going to show up, and we're going to talk. I'm going to talk to the life group about this. All right. That's awesome. Another life group had I heard about this. There's a family in that life group that they're going through a big readjustment time. So you know what that life group did? They're like, hey, listen, we're going to bring you a bunch of meals. So that's one less thing you have to worry about as you're going through this readjustment. So that's showing up for one another. Like, what you need? What do you need? Oh, well, I'm going to show up there for you. This is what family looks like for me. And as the mom of Hope City, this is what family has to look like at Hope City. This is our story. In order for the next level of growth to be strong and healthy, our foundation has to be based on these three things: that everyone is welcome, that we celebrate each other's wins and quietly guard, and that we show up for one another. That's what we have to be. That if our foundation isn't strong, then the next level of growth will quickly crumble. And you wouldn't be here today if you were not committed to the next level of growth. The faces that I see in this room today have been here week after week after week. And we're all part of this foundational family that God is building. He's building this story of a family at Hope City. And this is what it looks like. Let's let him define us into those perfect pieces, that when the next wave of people come in, that we're like, yeah, we're ready. We're ready. I'm just going to invite everyone. Let's pray for a moment. And Darren, you can just put on some quiet music for us. I'm not going to close this service today without just taking the opportunity. As your eyes are just closed and your heads are bowed, some of you might be sitting here. I never want to pass up this opportunity. That maybe this idea of family is so foreign to you because you haven't even taken that first step in becoming part of God's family. And that first step is this. I got to have Jesus. And if that's you today, if you're saying like, that's me, like I want to be part of this family, but I recognize that the first thing in becoming part of this family is I got to have Jesus. If that's you today, will you just slip up your hand for me so I can pray for you? I'm just going to invite everyone to stand right now. And I just want you to say this with me. Jesus, I need you. I can't define a family without you as the center. Of my life. And I ask you to be the author of family. And I'm just going to, as eyes are just still closed, I just really feel led this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you're like, dang, this hurts. Like, this hurts. I'm carrying some family hurts. And I do not want to take those into the family foundation of Hope City. If that's you this morning, like, I recognize, like, I have some healing to do with family. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. Let me just pray for you, Father, right now. I recognize that the term family can bring pain. It can bring pause. And right now, God, for those people that raised their hands and are just saying, like, I need some help in this area of family, God, will you just start walking them back? Walking them back. Show them the areas where forgiveness needs to be released. Release truth. God, give them the strength and the courage to just open up and share with the ones that can stand with them and pray with them. God, we just invite you to be the center of the Hope City family. And let these foundational pillars take root and let it go down deep. That everyone is welcome. That we celebrate your wins and we guard your concerns, and that we show up for each other. God, I thank you for the family you're creating in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, before you leave, if you're a mom in this room, we just want to show you a little bit of honor. And if you, when you walk out to the table, there's a gift there for you. So would you just grab it and take it home with you? Okay? I love you guys. We'll see you next week.